Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can all be here together at this Happiness Camp meeting. Just please bring all of us closer to you and please bless this seminar and all the people that are in it. Just help everyone to gain a blessing and continue to bless us throughout the rest of this week. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we're going to look a little bit at worship. The heart of every Christian is a relationship. The relationship should be usually expressed in some form of praise, often with a group of people that think about Christ in the same way. We usually call it worship because it centers around a person's need to be alive and dynamic. Hopefully, this isn't what you find in your worship service.
Oh, wow.
We drive by this church and it says live loud music.
Yeah.
I thought they were having a conversation about yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw this and I grabbed it. Worship gets you through the hardest times in your life because it shifts your focus from the problem to the problem solver. Attitudes. Young people need to learn things besides facts and skills. They need to learn facts and skills, but they also need to develop healthy attitudes. And what kind of attitudes somebody has is going to have a big bearing on how they learn. Long ago, far away, I went to a National Trumpet Symposium. I was a college student wanting to buy a different trumpet, and I had some ideas of what I wanted, and one that I sort of liked but didn't want for a specific reason. So I'm trying out stuff from all sorts of manufacturers, and the ones that seemed to work for me, I didn't like the price range I was looking at. My mom has often accused me of having mink taste and a rabbit budget. But anyway, I end up in line for lunch with the guy, and always been grateful for having done that, because I learned some wonderful, wonderful nuggets of wisdom from him. And he told me, he says, so I told him that, well, the Gibson C trumpet on the fourth space E flat is way flat. Well, how are you fingering? I said, second valve. He says, well, no wonder. They're all flat that way. He says, the shorter the trumpet, the weirder the fingerings get. All C trumpets, fourth space E flat, you do second and third. Really? He said, yeah. And he went in to talk about some other stuff, and then he went on talking about some of the lectures that we had been through and how this one guy was terribly disorganized. But the guy that did the historical thing now, he was organized, and he went on to started talking about this historical stuff. And because of his enthusiasm for it, and this is a guy I just met. We went through a dinner line together, or lunch line together. So, you know, I mean, it wasn't as long as what I spent today in line, okay? So this was not an extended period of time. But in the short time we had together, he impressed me as someone who was friendly, very, very, very knowledgeable, someone that had answers to questions that I had, and he liked music history. So, I somehow got interested in music history, which I really hadn't been up until that time. But, thanks to meeting him, I did make it through my music history courses. Now, I never saw him after that. Don't know his name. But what did he give me? And what did I catch from him? I caught an attitude toward music history. And part of what we need to give our kids is good attitudes toward worship. Attitudes in some areas are not taught. We can try and teach them. You don't really, but rarely are you successful in teaching an attitude. I think you most often, they're caught. That's been my experience.
I just had this experience and I want to share it. I was talking with one of my Pathfinder's parents out there when we were Pathfinder, and she had just made this comment to me. She says, my daughter used to have worship with them. And she says, she just doesn't love it. She says, she tried it when she was a parent. She says, it's just not the same. I can't do it like they do it. But it's about attitude, like you said, totally, and making it exciting for them. You know, and we didn't do anything different than anybody else did, but apparently she caught, you know, it was different. And they liked it. You know, maybe the book, I don't know what it was, but kids, I just enjoy it.
Nobody can really be forced to learn anything if they don't want to. Even if people learn and discover important things, if you don't have the right attitude, you're probably not going to hang on to it and develop the attitude you need. Here, a mom is counseling her daughter as they go into church service. Pay close attention. You can't rewind. Vocational choices are largely dependent on attitudes and application of ideas in large measure depend on positive attitudes. I've recently heard an interview with Mike Rowe. How many of you know who Mike Rowe was? Discovery Channel, Dirty Jobs. Okay? And part of what he's working on today is changing the attitude of people toward working with their hands. Mm-hmm. Because we're starting to have a shortage of people willing to work with their hands. Mm-hmm. For decades, people have basically been told, you need to go to school, you need to go through high school and do well there so you can go get into a good college, so you can get a good job, so you can work at a desk and earn lots of money. And that works for some people. And for a lot of other people, it doesn't work that well. I personally do better working with my hands. Okay? I remember hearing a guy that I looked up to a bit in another situation. I remember hearing him on the phone catching up with somebody from academy days that he hadn't seen for 30 years. And he says, so what are you doing? He says, I went to school and got all that stuff, but now I'm using the gifts that the Lord gave me and I'm working with my hands. And, you know, that was a really, really accurate and nice attitude.
My dad's a pusher for higher education. My youngest brother is a simple farm boy. And so they had to come to a compromise. My brother wanted to run a farm. My dad's like, you have to go to college. Came to a compromise. My brother went to get a 2-year degree in agriculture. So he has, you know, more knowledge about what he wants to do, but he's still a simple farm boy. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. We want our kids to develop positive attitudes toward worship. And one of the most things we need to do is to provide pleasant experiences for learning about God, themselves, their world, and their church. Here we have somebody sitting in a pew that says, suddenly I feel the need for some intense and prolonged acoustical privacy. We want these to be in pleasant, enjoyable experiences for our kids. We want them to develop an appreciation for nature, understand its components, and who's at the center of it. You know, having the technology in church can be a blessing. It can help, and it can just be a distraction. It all depends on how it is used. We want to nourish curiosity, provide opportunities. We want the worship time to be significant for everybody. And we want to have some open-ended questions and some leave people with some problems for thought and personal exploration. We want to build a confidence in and a loyalty to God, be a person people can accept and want to associate with. We want worship times to be a pleasure. Present the material so it can be understood. Use a variety of methods and materials. Now, we're talking here primarily, but not exclusively, about the worship time in our club meetings. Some of this is going to bleed over and take over when we do a worship service. When my club did a Pathfinder Sabbath, we didn't have to follow the same order of service that was used before. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. But like I said the other day, when we did Pathfinder Sabbath, the Pathfinder, we'll let the elders do the announcements. And if we didn't have a pianist, then we'll rely on the church pianist. But the Pathfinders are going to do all the rest of it. The bulk of what we're talking toward here, though, is each meeting needs to have a worship time in it. It's not going to be the whole meeting. Usually, maybe you can figure out a way to make a whole meeting a worship service that they're going to love. But until you've got it figured out how to do that, don't try and go too long. Have you ever heard the saying, the longer the spoke, the greater the tire? So, make our worship times a pleasure. Present it so it can be understood. Use a variety of materials and methods. And if you're using a variety of materials and methods that provide student participation in discovery and discussion, all of a sudden, it's not all about a long spoke. We want to nourish respect for worship times, stress the times and things the participants involve themselves in, and we don't want to be punishing or humiliating them in a worship setting. Once in a while, you might need to pull somebody out and take them out for a private talk, but you do not punish or humiliate in a worship setting. Worship can offer unique opportunities for creative and original thinking. It should center on a relationship. How do we build relationships with our kids? How do we do that? Talk about things that they're interested in. Ask them questions. Spend time with them outside of church. Observing. Okay. Now, I'm going to pick on you because I know you can handle it. When we worked together, you were single. You are not now. And there's a big smile on your face. So, apparently between then and now, you got to know somebody. How did that happen? Did it happen all at once? No. Gradually? Pretty. Okay. So.
We saw each other outside of church, even though we met at church. And we asked each other lots of questions and did a lot of talking.
Okay. Doing things together. Okay. So, you've been married how long? Almost 5 years. So, after you got married, you stopped doing that stuff, right? No? You do? Do you still talk to each other? And why don't you talk? Is this because you've taken a vow of silence toward the other during camp meeting? So is it for lack of opportunity that you don't? Okay. So it's for lack of opportunity that you don't. But as are you continue? I'm really going out on a limb here. Do you plan on staying married to him?
Amen.
Okay. So, do you expect your relationship to grow? So, why kind of do keep on doing these things that worked for you? Now, isn't that really what we need to do with our God? Now, you commented that as the relationship developed, part of it developed quite rapidly. Can that happen with our Lord? Okay. Ready. Okay, so we're being ready and open. So we need to set the stage to help our kids to be ready and open. How many of you play golf? Okay. So, okay, we have one hand that goes up. I have played it a few times. The summer after I graduated from the academy, my best friend from high school took me out to the local nine-hole course. He and his brother both had a membership there, so I used his brother's clubs, and he could have so many guests a season, so I was one. And he explained the game to me. And before, I just knew you hit the little ball and it's supposed to end up in a hole. But he explained all kinds of stuff about it. And I discovered that for me, I think I've already told you I'm rather athletically declined. But I discovered that on a par 3 course, or any course, you take par, that's what a good golfer will get it to, how many times they have to hit it. So if you take par and you cube it, then I'm within sight of it. Okay? And 10 years later, my wife's younger brother graduated from academy. I end up on a nine-hole course. And you know that 10 years off? Now we only need to square it. And I'm within sight of it. But something I did learn is each shot is supposed to put you in a better position for the next shot. You're not very often going to do a hole in one. And so, as we're working with our kids, we want each thing that we do, each worship, and really everything that we do, to put us in a better position for the next thing that we're going to do. And hopefully, it's going to be one step closer to our God. One rung further up that ladder, like we were talking about. Hopefully, in your club's worship segments, there'll be room for some creative activities. Now, I will be the first to say, there are times where you don't have time for a long, extended creative worship. That this is just one of the facts of life. And there are also times when you might have something lined up and something falls through. And so, I'm going to give you a very, very simple, non-optimal, but functional backup plan. Okay? Find a daily worship book, preferably nature related, and you look up whatever day it is You are not trying to go through the whole book with these kids, okay? But whatever today's date is, that one can work. Because they're each a standalone worship. Okay? We will get to a few resources, I believe. But right now, I'm just talking about a backup plan. To have a backup plan. And I always had a briefcase that I took that had assorted stuff that I needed for Pathfinders, and that lived in there, along with my drill manual and some other stuff. But you need to have something. Hopefully you will have room in most of your worship segments for some creative activities. Now here's somebody with an illustration that uses a lot of cliches. Bob, I didn't realize you pushed the envelope, raised the bar, and thought outside the box. Out of the loop, huh, Frank? A lot of cliches there. Okay. Now, if we only give our kids facts and rules in worship, are we going to get a lot of creative thinking?
No.
No. If teachers think there's only one way to solve a problem, then guess what? They're not going to have a lot of incentive to be creative. This would be a good thing for a woodworking class to figure out how to make. I remember years ago, I had boys that were, two boys that were junior age, and we needed a new junior leader. And so I decided, okay, if I'm going to be a junior leader, I haven't been in junior department for a long time. I want to see what one looks like. And I don't want to look at the one here. So I went off 20 miles to the big city and, to see what happened there, and met the teacher, and lo and behold, we actually knew each other from days before, and I told him what I was up to. Yeah, come on in, and he told me a little bit about his philosophy, and I was fascinated. He said he didn't want to do anything for his kids that they could do for themselves. One of his kids was in charge of the song service. One was in charge of the mission story. One was in charge of prayer. All of this kind of stuff they did because they weren't in primary anymore. They were juniors. Gave them something to live up to. And then he did there was a main lesson for each day. And then they broke up into two or three classes. And I was fascinated in the classes. One of the exercises, there were some objects to be manipulated to, and the purpose was to show that there's more than one way to do this. And in the teacher's helps, it showed how you can fit it all together so that it all worked. Guess what? Some of the kids hadn't seen that, and they figured out a totally different way to put it together. And the guy that was teaching the thing on being open to new stuff, he had to rearrange it so it was right. Oh well. But now, I learned there's a hazard when you teach kids that are junior age to be able to do the mission story and the scripture reading and all this kind of stuff. Because I had six kids in my class. And this is a small church where most of the folk weren't travelers, so everybody's there every week. And all of a sudden, I'm having problems with my kids in the class because the adult class has pulled them in to do mission story or scripture, because they're having trouble getting the adults to do it, and they found out kids can do it. So, really, that was a good problem. It was tough to keep my program going, but was it good for the kids to get up in front of the adults? Students are actively looking for concepts through reflective thinking, problem solving, and experimentation with new experiences and all. Neat reflection there in that picture. So we want our kids to encourage them to ask questions, discuss different opinion, and propose new ideas with their classmates. We want them to give reasons for answers, statements, methods, and rules so that they'll know the why and the how of what they believe. Here's someone learning one of the facts of life. Algebra class will be important to you later in life because there's going to be a test 6 weeks from now.
I think that goes really well with one of the things you said on the other side, with your respect for worship times, and then also making it, oh, maybe it's on the side, making it applicable to the present. I work with early teens, and one of the things that I find they have trouble doing at that age is translating what the Bible says to what that means for them. And I ask them to tell me, or put this verse in your own words, and that translation does not happen easily.
No.
But it does, and then we go through and take apart a verse. What does this word mean? What does that word mean? What does this word mean? And then they're able to do it. They put it together like a puzzle. But that's very, very important at this age in Pathfinders to have them apply it. Because I know that when I went through school, they taught me all things about the sanctuary, but I didn't know why it was important. I just knew the fact, like you said, the facts of it. And then now as an adult, I'm starting to understand that it would have been great if I had gotten that application as well as just the facts.
Yeah. And speaking to this, based on personal experience, sometimes readiness has everything to do with it. And there are some concepts that I have to hear over and over and over before all of a sudden I will figure out what they're about. But we do need to try to find ways to help them to not be reflectors of other people's statements. We need to help them learn to think for themselves and to see that if we do this, what will happen? And sometimes that is just as simple as saying, so if we do this, what's going to happen? And then you just wait and try and draw it out of them. And sometimes, depending on what it is, maybe they can do it easily, and maybe they're going to have to really struggle with it. And if they're really struggling, okay, you're going to might need to break it down, like you say. So what is this part? Okay, so what's this? So when we put these together, what happened? Does it make any difference which order we put them in? Yeah. Now, does this speed up the process for us? The memory verse takes forever. How long do we want them to have the memory verse?
Forever.
So, I wasn't expecting to go here, but sometimes, if you might find a worship that you'd planned was going to take 5 minutes. If something takes off, be willing to go with it and keep it going. Because sometimes things will, you never know when a seed is planted what's going to come out of it. And sometimes things don't bear fruit right away. How are we doing? Okay, thank you. Speaking to this, on the algebra will be important to you later in life because there's going to be a test 6 weeks from now. And when he said later in life, he probably wasn't thinking 6 weeks.
Right.
Kid wasn't thinking. So we have to remember that we have both short-term and long-term goals. And, you know, sort of like, what is the sign of your return and the end of the age? So you can have all sorts of materials and illustrations and object lessons to help them understand the concept. What's inside a frog and a pathfinder might be a little bit different, but
yeah.
But there are some similarities. For when I was a kid, one of my aunts gave me a kit of the visible dissecting frog. And so I had this frog that was about this, that it was made out of translucent plastic and came apart, and it had all the organs that stacked up in it. And I learned a lot from doing that. And guess what? And later in class, I discovered that I had that same stuff inside of me. And it was arranged in about the same order. Almost as if the same person designed this or something. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Some of our kids never seem to get very enthusiastic. That's just how it is. But at the same token, I remember I told you about the one PE teacher, a class that taught a social studies class that tried to convince us that in England, classrooms were kept at 58 degrees because it kept people alert and they learned so much. Well, I also remember him talking about why is it that some people in the classroom just talk real softly and you can hardly hear them. But when you're playing dodgeball, over here, come on, you know, can be totally different. Well, you know, different parts of life, people are going to react differently. And remember we were talking about the different learning styles? I know exactly who he was talking about. And everybody in the class knew he was talking about Larry. And Larry was really good physically. He was a good natural athlete. Looking back, I think he also had dyslexia. And nobody in my little town had heard of dyslexia. Worship can happen in many places and occasions within a total club program. Sometimes you may want to do something different, unique, and special. I personally have never seen a worship that involved pizza. But I don't see any reason why you can't have worship before pizza.
So when it says doing something different, unique, special, and making it fun, is it going to be easy every time? So is our goal to have worship be fun?
That's a really good question. Is our goal for worship to be fun?
It depends on what fun you're talking about.
Right. It should be educational and entertaining.
Not entertaining. Engaging is the word.
Yeah.
You've got to reach the fifth group.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's something that we struggle with here at the Academy, too. Is that the kids feel bored if something isn't fun because they're constantly entertained and stimulated.
Right.
So then when they come to worship, anything that has to do with God is like, it's not my dinner, it's not my phone, it's mm-hmm. not my whatever. Their brains are so overstimulated that there's no be still to know that I'm God. There's no room for God. There's all of that thing. And I know that why a lot of people feel like they have to make worship fun so kids will be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
But you have your thing here too, learn respectful worship time. You know, that thing that comes from when you're a young child and your parents, so, you know, we fold our hands and we kneel because we want to respect God because He's the creator of the universe, and that awe of Him, that reverence. I think so much of that is being falling by the wayside because we're concerned about entertaining our kids. Not that we shouldn't engage, you know, interesting, exciting, but the fun aspect is kind of service.
And rightly so. And thank you for bringing it up. I really do appreciate it. Can worship be fun sometimes? Is it going to be fun all the time? And you just touched on a very crucial point. What is fun for one person isn't necessarily fun for somebody else. Going back to my previous story, when Larry was involved in doing all that athletic stuff, Dave, who's naturally athletically declined, wasn't having as much fun as Larry was. Okay? And so we have different gifts. And know up front that as you plan worships, that you probably are not going to have one worship that hits every kid. It's not likely to happen. There are some that are going to get one here, sometimes over here, sometimes there, sometimes a bigger bunch, sometimes a smaller bunch. That's how it is. Will it, can it all, should it always be fun? If it is always all fun, is it really worship? Because who is it about? So let's look at our Bibles here a little bit in our general overview. Did everybody always have fun? They didn't? You don't think that being out in the wilderness, getting free food all the time, and having air conditioning by day and central heat at night, you don't think that was fun?
I have fun most of the time. I can't think of a time I didn't have fun.
Teaching the attitude of what worship really is, where it's not about me, and it's about him, and how can I please God, I think is part of that.
And a part of what happened with you in your experience is the family setting that you came out of.
Yes.
Because you came out of, you grew up in a family that strongly believed in Pathfinders, with both your parents having been leaders and ardent supporters of it, and involved with it, and involved in your church, and helping you be involved, and they were modeling good worship behavior. And I hate to break the news to you, but not everybody in the club had your advantages.
Yeah. Right. And even thinking about, if you're talking about modeling good worship behavior, that's part of why we're having Pathfinders, right? Mm-hmm. To teach that good worship behavior. Whatever you're defining that to be.
Right.
I don't want to cause trouble. I just know that's been something that we struggled with, is the fun aspect, kind of crowding out the reverent and the real God folk, you know, that it's about him and about us providing entertainment for you.
Right.
We had a young lady who was very much, she struggles, her family struggles, and so you can tell. And she's been in and out of Pathfinders because she wasn't being entertained. There was nothing for her, unless it was something she was interested in and she wanted to do, she wasn't interested. And it's sad to see that some kids do that. If it's not for them, if it's not all about them, they're not interested. And worship goes right along with that. If you have the wrong attitude, the wrong heart, you're just not going to be, you can't make it fun for them because it's just
spiritual things are
spiritual.
We're talking about how to make worship good and everything. There's been a couple of times that my kids have gone to don't want to be specific, but places where they have, they're having worship for children their ages, and it was actually used as a time to spank them.
Oh, wow.
With their words.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And actually, one of them was because I didn't respond to this person with the way that they wanted me to. And so my kids got spanked the next day at worship time.
That was the most important thing in worship.
Yeah. Yeah. It is hard with children that are so plugged in. This year, my job was to basically babysit the adventure-age kids so that the parents of the Pathfinders would let their kids go there because they didn't want to make two trips to the school to pick them up. So I had four boys. Three of them never do video games or watch movies and TV and stuff. And one of them was all about, have you ever seen the Disney film, this? And, oh, I just love this video game and everything. And that's all they talked about all the way into my house. And then, half an hour later, you know, they all go out to play. And half an hour later, that boy would be in, what you making for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the cat? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was like I had to keep him entertained. Because he wasn't interested in nature and what the other boys were climbing trees, and, you know.
Same way of describing children.
Look at Jesus' method of teaching. You know, he taught in parables.
Yeah.
And application. I think of Craig Harris when he comes out and does, you know, the messenger and so forth, and he does the Pathfinders. He usually tells some kind of interesting story,
mm-hmm.
and then it's parable application. Now, Tom Harvard was our pastor. And Tom always kind of told an interesting story, a perfect story, something that caught people's attention. It was not really, it wasn't boring, but at least enough to, okay. And they kept it simple. After an hour, was in their bathroom. But that's an hour. I mean, you know, one-on-one intellectual, I mean, I like that stuff and so forth. And I'll say it, okay. Had someone came into church, and Mark was way up there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're into spiritual things and you know, highlight so far, you know, she took his hand and said, I didn't understand what he said.
That was just somebody you invited to church.
His lecture would have been good in a meeting like this in camp meeting, but the church, you got to keep it simple. You know, the whole story, you just help her out, ask her about it, make a spiritual application. And so that's, I think that's one way to make
You know, sometimes, you know, among the things that we've touched on here is where are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't something that you can do for a lot of your meetings. But when you can, go outside somewhere and do something based on something that's there. A lot of our kids today, they're so busy with technology, they're busy speaking in thumbs. And that's, you know.
At my grade, two of my most fun things is the singing. I just really love the singing. We would sing at the top of our mountains. And finding Bible texts. I thought that was great. We loved it. All of us tried to find that Bible text quicker. And the kids were in the thing. I don't know if the kids were, you know, we did it in our path. I never wrote it. I don't know if all the kids still like that, but it helps you find the text quicker than Bible was. You know, you're doing competition kind of, but yet all they're learning to look. And
you know, I'll be honest. It's been a few years since I was a director. You were probably among the last that I had. At that time, kids still had fun with sword drills.
They're still doing sword drills. Well, this is because I'm still doing sword drills.
And are they having fun with it?
They're
enjoying it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll
enjoy a sword drill right now.
So, one of my favorite texts to call out was Hezekiah 3:17. And so just so that you know, the correct response, if this is your sword, and you know, they say, draw your swords, and you say, Hezekiah 3:17, you know, when you find it, you step forward, the correct response is, because there is no book of Hezekiah, much less chapter 3, verse 17. But, you know, now, in doing sword drills, I enjoyed sending them to specific texts. And sometimes I would mix it up. Give me some, I want one of the books of Moses. Okay, we're down to five books. That opens it up quite a bit. I want something in poetry. I want something in history. Now I want history in the New Testament. I want something in prophecy. I want a promise. And those sometimes took a little longer. I want something about the Messiah coming the first time. I want a text on the second coming. And they still had fun. But that isn't where you start them. You start them out just going for the book. You know, if you got friends, they're supposed to learn the Old Testament. So let's keep it down to the Old Testament. But let's make sure that they can find the minor prophets. And which ones are the major prophets? And which are the books of poetry? You know.
Back on the subject we were talking about, trying to make worship, you know, fun but yet still spiritual. We've had a lot of the love of having our TLTs in worship. Because they can sometimes, and particularly we notice it like at the camp house when we put the TLTs, when we have just our club camp, not the big ones, just sometimes the big ones. They come up with some really unique ways of doing it. They get the kids going and they're active. So if you've got a good group of TLTs, ask them out.
And they look up to them too.
And they do. Really, the kids look up to those TLTs.
I don't know who came up with the TLT program, the human that came up with it, but I'm pretty sure I know where the general idea came from. And where it's used properly, it's a wonderful blessing to all the kids, because they come up with ideas that some of us older folks never can. And they have perspectives on things that are different. Their experiences are different. But Leanne, I have to thank you for bringing up the idea of fun. Sometimes worship can be fun. But not all of life is fun. And to expect all of worships to be fun is very unrealistic, I think. I think it's very but we need to talk about it. And it should not be painful in the sense of I am being singled out for something that I did and I am being punished. We should not have any pain like that. If we feel any pain, that should be the result of the Holy Spirit's work, not ours. You know what I'm saying. I am not in. I have no idea. The guy. Okay, so you asked me where did I get my slide? Where did I get whatever slide it was? The bulk of these presentations I got from David Jones. You might remember David Jones. When I first moved to Michigan 21 years ago, he was head of the Lansing Capitals Junior Club. And he also was interested in teaching classes at workshops and stuff. And he was the leader of the club there for a while. And two of my kids were in it. And then, as you might, some of you remember, I ended up starting a club in St. John's. And then he ended up moving to Florida. I bumped into him at a camporee at Oshkosh. And it was after a big worship Sabbath afternoon or something. And it had to have been earlier in the week than Sabbath. Anyway, there'd been a big gathering, and so we're working back, and we bump into each other. And so in passing, he commented that he'd put together PowerPoint presentations for all of the PLA seminars. And I had taught a couple of the PLA seminars, and with the supervision of a couple of my kids, I had struggled to put together PowerPoints. I really had not a lot of understanding of how that worked, being rather technologically challenged. But I had kids that could supervise me, so I didn't damage anything. And so in the back of my head, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I wonder how I can get a copy of those. And that's a good... So later on in the day, Dave and his wife Deb stopped by the club tent, and we're talking. And so I asked him, so what club are you with? Well, he's not really with a club now. He's just doing training, but he had wrangled a chance to that he could hang out with this other club, but now he's just doing training stuff. And his wife really wanted one of the Michigan rainbow pins. And they were a fairly hot commodity among certain crowds there. But they weren't with a club. So she didn't have much for pins to trade. And some of my kids... I was directing a club and an area coordinator. So I actually had two different pins. And my kids had learned that there were certain times I could just say, I'm not trading now. And it took a little bit, but they quickly caught on that when I said, I'm not trading now, what I actually meant was, I'm not trading now. So don't even talk to me about it, because I'm just. And so I was in one of the non-trading times. But Deb was talking to me, and she wasn't a part of my club. And she said, I'd really like one of those pins. And I said, but you don't have anything to trade. She said, no. I have an idea. But I had kids around us. So I said, come here. And so we walked over here. And I said, I have an idea of how you can get a rainbow pin. But I'm going to ask a higher price than I have ever heard anyone ever paying for any pin. But it is a price that can be paid. Yeah, and she's thinking, what in the world are you talking about? And so I said, I remember Dave said that he had a PowerPoint presentation for each of the PLA seminars. And I will give you a pin in exchange for a disc or however many discs it takes. Time out. I had no concept. Okay, I really didn't. And so she understood. And so she says, okay, let me go see what I can work out. And so she went straight to Dave, and there was a brief discussion. She came back with a smile, and she was nodding her head, and so I pulled out and gave her a rainbow pin. Later that day, I got a compact disc, and on it, it said, MG, P-L-A-P-I-A on it. I didn't have a computer with me, but I thanked her, and I haven't seen her since. So, the kids got home, and the campery came to an end. We all got home. I stick this thing into a computer, and there's this a whole bunch of folders, and then there's this Word document that says, "Dave, read me first." Brilliant! This is a brilliant thing that he did here. Brilliant. And so yes, that's the one I opened first. And he says, "Hi, Dave. These are, of course, a work in progress." And he says, anyway, that is where I got them. And lo and behold, the MG stood for Master Guide. PLA is Pathfinder Leadership Award. And then there was also PIA, Pathfinder Instructor Award. Okay. And in the North American division, PLA and PIA have been sort of replaced by the AYMT, Adventist Youth Training Materials. But that's where I got a lot. I've stuck a few other things in here. Now, this particular slide, I look at that, the hats, and then, and I think Shakey's Pizza. You know, that's what comes to my mind. And I don't think of worship. But you know what? That slide sometimes can be a wonderful stimulus for discussion about what worship, what do we want our worship to look like? Are there some things that we really, really, really don't want to bring into worships? I think there are some things that we, that to me aren't really compatible with worship. This isn't the, I'm not saying we can't tie knots during worship because it can be part of an object lesson. And object lessons are wonderful. Object lessons are wonderful because they go into another part of the mind and they sometimes tend to stay. Yes. Yeah. And that can be a way of what you were saying where they have trouble getting the printed word into their lives. How do we relate to that? Now, knots don't work with a lot of scripture. You know, you're going to have to really work to find us how to get knots into some scriptures. But there's other stuff besides knots. And maybe you're going to bring in a frog or a butterfly or a blade of grass or I don't know. But if you get outside, you have a lot of chances, opportunities for distractions. Uh-huh. I'm going to call it the way it is. You have opportunities for a whole new world of distractions. But there's also some potentials. Let's see what else is on here. Accept the challenge of doing things differently. Be imaginative. What are the details in a story? So, that Bible Alive, was that the name of that one? Honor? That was an interesting, that honor is a really interesting idea, and I think there are things about that that we could pull into this. And I don't have that stuff with me right now. But so when you see this, what story comes to mind?
Joseph.
Okay.
Or Moses.
Okay. So Let's just go for fun. Look at the idea from a variety of angles. We're thinking of somebody in the bulrushes. What do you think the water smelled like? She said, funky.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that real? Okay. Yeah. Include opportunities for participation. You know, maybe you're going to have, maybe you're telling the story of Moses and the bulrushes, and you're going to all of a sudden, oh, says, look, there's the Nile River right there. Help them walk through a story. And if you have a group this size and smaller, it's real easy to get them to get up and do and act some stuff out. You know, the first time you're going to get a lot of blank looks saying, what in the world is he doing now? Did he just go off the deep end? But try and find a way to make application to the present, just like you were talking about. We do need to deal with current times. There's no doubt about that. So, in your handouts, I believe you have some texts listed and some thoughts on how to do some of this kind of stuff. We've got the one about the gentleman that was vertically challenged. And it would be fun to research, what does a sycamore tree look like? Mm-hmm. Is it a good climbing tree? I don't know.
Not really, most of the time. We have sycamore trees here. That's kind of a spotted model bark.
Okay. Do we have branches near the ground?
No.
Depends on how the landscape really turns up.
Okay.
Banana flowers climb those trees very well. They have a way that
this is next to a hill. Maybe he just climbed up on the peach one along.
There you go. If you had a sycamore tree for them to actually try, that would be, I think, the most fun or explanatory. Yeah.
Okay.
If they can ship me up something.
I'm curious. How many of you? that's good too. How many of you, when you were kids, spent a lot of time climbing trees? And I have to have my hand. Oh, we are family. We are family.
Out by the girls' dorm, I used to climb every Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like you could sit up and I used to see kids climbing that tree now. It was huge, a huge maple tree that's low to the ground, with branches low to the ground.
Okay.
Sometimes at camping, you put the little swings in those branches.
Yeah.
And
swing.
I did my girls' granddaughter, which was a little hammock.
So, here are some of the resources. I think this is in your handouts that Advent Source has.
Sabbath blast. We've come up here with some questionable activities in that
one. Oh yeah.
We actually have that one.
Well, any of the activities, when you need to look through it and say, is this going to work for us with the in our situation with the resources that we have? And there are some things you're going to look at and say, this is never going to work for me. Okay, so now you've successfully found something you're not going to look at again. And so you're going to move on. Um, Do you have these in your slides, in your handout? Okay, I'm sorry. But this is all stuff that's available from Advent Source. So, and like I said, there's if you go to their website, there's a lot of their stuff you can't see until you sign in with right. your account. So you want to always be able to sign in. So in your portfolio, somewhere have a spot where you've got your account name and whatever sign-in information you need. For Advent Source. Okay? Find ways to get the kids involved. There are times it is going to be a staff member up front. Okay? And that's it, because there are times you have to do it and do it very quickly because you don't have a lot of time, and a lot of people would rather just skip it and get on to whatever has to happen, because whatever has to happen has to happen. But you need to do it. And you're going to have an adult that's going to do something. And this might be one of those times when you pull out the devotional, and let's see, today's date is June 21. Okay, so we're nowhere near about the middle of the book. We find June, okay, 21. Okay, and that then you read that. There are times that is what you have either you or some other adult do. But hopefully, as memory serves me, you have to do some worships in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You have the opportunity.
Yeah, no, you don't. But you do have the opportunity.
Yes,
and so for the ones that you plan on getting signed off for, don't do one of the ones where you just read out of the devotional. Okay? Spend some time, figure out what kids can I get involved. Are there some bump-in-the-log kids that are all introverted and shy that never want to do anything that I can give a small part and maybe they just hold something? But they do, and other people interact around them or something. But find ways to get a lot of people involved.
Yeah, the kids in my class, because we've been, like we were saying, reverence has been an issue that we've been grappling with. We gave the kids the idea of making a video about reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about Sabbath school. What does reverence look like? What does it not look like to you? So we had them work in groups and they wrote down all their ideas. And then they're going to write a script. The kids that are not very technologically inclined are really excited. They're about writing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The kids who are really technologically inclined are like, can we edit it? And can we, you know, do the computer part? And the kid wants to do the filming part and ask their dad to help them. And so all of them can get involved in some part or another. So some of the kids that like to be up front all the time and want all the attention want to be the ones that are acting it out, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're coming together to bring something to the church. And the pastor said that he would show it at church, like a little small 5-minute thing that they make. So that's their idea of, you know, how they can all work together. So not all the kids want to be in front.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the kids have the talent to do the computer part.
Mm-hmm.
But they can work somehow together to bring the whole product together.
So when you're done with this, is this something that's going to be used as part of a worship service?
They are mildly unexcited about it being shown in front of the academy students. But that's kind of what we wanted to do, is have it shown and the academy students are here. Also for the younger kids, because they look up to the early teenage children. So that it's not. And then for the adults, I think it would be less threatening in kids of them talking about reverence, so that they can see and hear and receive maybe a little bit better than if an adult is up there, like, this is what our church needs to be like, you know.
Sometimes it's more upsetting if the kids are not blind to things.
Yeah, well, they're going to be, you know, it's supposed to be on a video, so. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new video that they made with Sabbath School about being unplugged? You know, looking at your phone and maybe talk to somebody about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really neat thing. And that's kind of what I envision it's going to be like. It's like a 5-minute thing that was put up by the GC.
Oh, yeah?
And it was produced by one of the pastors at the city here in Michigan and his family.
Okay.
Jared Thomas.
Okay. Any other ideas people want to share how to get kids involved? I think we're running out. We've got to be coming up on our time.
We have 4 minutes more.
Okay. I think we've had a fun time here. I think we've had a productive time. And I thank you for sharing your thoughts and ideas and yourselves.
No, I was just going to say, we have no idea what these kids are listening to, you know, when we're talking or something, doing worship. But we know that seeds are being planted.
Yeah.
The Spirit's going to develop. And we may not see the results of them, you know, that year during the pandemic. The kids are listening. And so that's just the way I approach it, that I know that they may not hear everything I say, but I know they are hearing some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you that the Holy Spirit to develop what I don't know specifically what these kids need. I mean, I have a good idea, but the Holy Spirit knows.
Yeah. Let me tell you about a very unique worship service I experienced in the Lansing Church a number of years ago. We had... And I can never keep track of if it's an associate or an assistant pastor. What? I can't keep track of the title. But it wasn't the main guy, it was the other guy. Okay? Okay. And this was his, I'm going to call it his sunset posting. And right after this, he retired. But he got up this one time. And he was a wonderful guy for many things. He was not a great pulpiteer. Get up for the preachment. This was not his forte. He was really good at the interpersonal stuff, you know, and visiting the sick and doing Bible studies and all this kind of stuff. He was really good at that stuff. The upfront stuff, not so good. But he had a fabulous worship service this one Sabbath. Unlike any other. I mean, we did all the normal stuff. Okay, all the normal stuff. Came time for him to get up here and say what he had to say. This was planned ahead of time. He had two people with handheld mics. The PA people had been clued in. And he gave a short testimony. And it wasn't like your normal testimonies. This one, he got up and said, the first time I came into this church, and he pointed to somebody, and he told what they did and what it meant to him. And he thanked them in front of everybody. And he said, this is going to be a service of thanksgiving. We have many people here doing a lot of things that they never get thanked for. And this is a chance, this is an opportunity where you can thank somebody for something that you have seen them do. And there were a lot of people got up and talked about a lot of different things. It was a neat service. It really was. With one exception, all of the young people, and I'm talking college age and below, with one exception, and there were like a half dozen, all of the young people that got up thanked their Pathfinder leaders.
Wow.
And I have to also say this, at that time, that's when I was doing the St. John's Crusaders, and this was in the Lansing Church. So I had no part of that. This is nothing on Dave. This was the people that were doing it there, and you know who some of them were. So to your point, they're observing, and they may not be grateful for everything that we do then, but I have heard many stories of some kid who 20 years later calls up his Pathfinder counselor because he's got a problem and he doesn't know who else to talk to. So, be that person.
We're talking about attitude, transmitting attitudes, and even if you only remember from Pathfinders, keep your body locked, do my honest part, care for my body, keep the love alive, produce the media, walk something. Even if you just remember that, it's a good basis to, you know,
yes,
life up. Just those simple
things. Yeah.
Having that in your brain. Because even like I said, when we talk about reverence, the kids, you know, when they write down their stuff, they write, walks off in the sanctuary. That's coming from Pathfinders.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit of a simple thing to summarize, but it sticks.
Yes.
And it's a nice illustration. I love that phrase because it says so much. You know? It really does. We're probably over time. So, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's have a quick prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for being a God that we can worship in so many different ways. Help us that we can help kids to learn to love and serve you in all aspects of their lives. And now we ask that you'll be with everyone here, that your Holy Spirit can go with them, that they can be a blessing to the people that they meet. We ask this in thy name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.